Shall we pray? O Lord my God, how excellent is your name. Now come, Holy Spirit, come. Come as the rushing of a mighty wind. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Illumine, elucidate. As your word goes forth, if there are any who are unsaved, may they come to know you this day in the free pardon of sin. For those of us who know you, O God, grant us a closer walk with you. Embolden our witness. Lord, we continue to pray for this pastor, his wife, his church. It is in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Good morning, family. It is so good to be able to share with you again. Amen. It has been several years. The pandemic has kept us apart, but thank God he's brought us together again. And let's give God praise. Amen. We are. If you'll allow me to just use common vernacular, I'm happy glad to be here and to share with Pastor Brooks II and his wife in this anniversary celebration. Can we give God praise for them? Amen. I want to thank Reverend Burke, Reverend Tolliver, for their kindness and all the kindness that has been shown. Again, I feel at home. I know that time has kept us separate, but thanks be to God. It's just good to be here and to see your faces and to see what God continues to do. And while I've been away, I do follow. You know, we are all amidst what I call hybrid ministry, this new paradigm, this new model of ministry. And so I follow and worship with the St. John Church family by way of Facebook. And I want to commend this pastor for the job that he continues to do. And as my pastor would say, or would have said, if the dead knows what the live is doing, I'm sure that Pastor James A. Brooks is yet smiling with the work that continues to go forth from the St. John Church. Amen. Now, you're not thirsty for preaching. You got a good preacher. Amen. 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 I don't have to guess. We know that you have a good preacher. In honor of your selected scripture that you have chosen for your theme, I would like to take that text, but I would like to extrapolate further that we get the total context of what's being said in the first chapter of Colossians. We begin reading at verse number 9, and I will conclude with verse number 19. It reads, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I would, from this pericope, from this slice of scripture, like to anchor it with the following thought. When God makes life click, when God makes life click. We are in a very unique, I believe, period in history of time. It is an interesting time for preachers like Pastor Brooks, who have so much ministry left in front of them. It is a challenging time because we live in a day and time when I don't know if you, like me, get the feeling that there's no such thing anymore as having enough in our world. We live in a culture where there is an incessant pressure to add on to existing things. Think about all the people who just have to add their own personal comments to a post on Twitter or on Facebook. Whether you find yourself dining in a fine restaurant or sitting at a fast food drive-up window, you are always pressured to add something else. Amen. Now, y'all can sit there and act like you don't patronize fast food restaurants, but in most instances, if you went to Carl's or Mickey D's or one of these places, they ask you, do you want fries with that? Do you want to supersize your order? It's as if the status quo is never enough. And I would suggest that there's no more tangible example of this phenomenon than in the explosive use of additives over the last 30 years. Additives are just what you think they are. They're things added to products to make them stronger, last longer, or look better. They're in everything. Gasoline, toothpaste, makeup. Even the buildings with which we live and work in are a product of additives, because steel in and of itself is the result of carbon being added to iron. And even though we don't think about it, we constantly put additives inside of our bodies. Hello, somebody. There are preservatives in bread and cheese to make them resistant to the growth of mold. There's food coloring and margarine to make it look more like butter. There's artificial sweeteners in soft drinks to make them calorie-free. In our coffee, we normally ask for the blue packet or the yellow packet containing artificial sugar. And while these are all seemingly acceptable ingredients, there comes a point where adding to something actually subtracts from its value. Because oftentimes additives will bring about damaging side effects. And with that awareness, there is a growing movement to return to natural products. Hello, somebody. And so we see companies are now making soda, making pop again from cane sugar or natural sugar, because it's better for you than high fructose corn syrup and the chemicals that are found in diet soda. And so nutritionists have found the natural fat found in butter is healthier for you than the additives that make up margarine. And so thus the world has begun to realize that some things are best when they are left in their natural state. Oh, I wish I had some help here today. And while this movement back to natural, to organic roots has happened in the world of food, I would subscribe to you that it has not yet fully happened in the realm of faith. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if people saw the Bible and the gospel in all of its rich clarity and realized that Christ alone is sufficient for salvation and for every spiritual need of the human soul. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. And so this preacher, as he walks within this worthy vocation with which he has been called, exemplifies for us that a godly walk with Jesus is enough. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Yeah. Even when things aren't working like they should. And God knows things aren't working like they should. Now let me commend all of you who are registered voters and who went out this past Tuesday and participated in the franchise and said to the people and powers that be, enough is enough. We're going to regain a sense of civility and sanity. And I'm thankful that again that black clerics led the way, because that's important. Amen. It's important that we stand behind the sacred desk, but it's also important that we, like Jesus, address the social issues and unrest of our day and time. And I don't know about you, but I get frustrated when I see things not working. But I've discovered that there is a reason behind the madness. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. Sometimes, though, it just takes us a little while to understand that something is missing. And so I stop by to say to this preacher, remind the folk, every time you mount this sacred desk, remind them of what's missing. Oh, that's important. What's missing? Sometimes it takes a while to get the fact that something is missing. I'm reminded of the old story about the city boy who inherited 500 acres of prime farmland, which he was told was worth a fortune, but could not be sold. The city boy was so excited that this land would make him rich. He drove his Lexus to the farm ready to collect. He asked a neighbor what he needed to claim his fortune. The neighbor, being seasoned, looked at him and said, "Son, what you need is a plow." And so the city boy bought a shiny new plow and set it in the middle of the field. He watched it for several days, and still nothing happened. He went back to the seasoned neighbor and said, "Now, sir, I bought the plow like you said, but nothing happened." Neighbor looked at him again and smiled and said, "Of course, you'll need some mules for the plow." So the city boy acquired mules and he hitched them to the plow as he spread out his handkerchief on the ground and sat waiting to see his fortune appear, but nothing happened. Long about that time, the neighbor passed by and saw him sitting on the ground watching the plow and the mule, and he laughed. He stopped. He said, "Son, you're going about this wrong. You have 500 acres of rich farmland that could make you rich one day, but it ain't worth a dime to you if you don't put your hands on the plow." You see, what was missing was the young man's willingness to work. Just as bread without yeast won't rise, a godly man's effort to make his life plan work won't succeed unless God is in the plan. So I stopped by to encourage this pastor and to encourage all of us who are here. Matthew 6:33, I think it's still there. I think it's still there. "Seek ye," come on, Bible readers, "the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." If we want our best plans to work, we need to have those plans centered around God and his will. And that's what Colossians is saying. One songwriter said, "Without God, I could do nothing. Without him, I surely fail. Without God, my life would be drifting like a ship without a sail." And so as Christians, we need and we know that we need the power of God to make our lives be what he intends for them to be. And whenever we're having trouble making things work, as we so often do these days and times, then there's a great possibility that what we are trying to make God fit into our plan rather than our fitting ourselves into God's plan. And so this text focuses on Paul as he reminds the Colossians that God should be the center of everything they do. Matthew Henry says Paul had three reasons for writing to the Colossians. First, he sought to show the deity and the supremacy of Christ in the face of Colossian heresy. Second, he wanted to lead believers into spiritual maturity. And third, he wanted to inform them about his state of affairs and elicited their prayers on his behalf. And I say and charge you, St. John, if you want this pastor, this preacher, this prophet, this potentate to make it, the best thing you can do is to pray for him, to pray for his wife, to pray for him. Y'all not hearing me. Paul raised up Christ as the source of a believer's life. As he says, we do nothing without him, and everything we do is centered around him in some way. This is similar to the message he gave over in Acts 17:28, where he said, "For in him we live, we move, and we have our being." In verse 17, Paul says, as we look at the phrase, "By him all things consist." It was Paul's way of telling the Colossians that God is at the center of everything. He makes things happen. At the end of the sentence is the word consist. Consist means to include, to incorporate, and to contain. This is one of the few occasions that when we see the word consist, it stands alone. Usually, it is followed by something, y'all not hearing me, such as consist of, or consist in, or consist as. When it is followed by something, consist usually indicates parts that make a whole. But when it stands alone, the way with which Paul writes it in the text, it indicates that the parts exist because of the whole. In other words, put another way, the little things only make sense when they are part of a big thing. What are you saying? Some of y'all still looking at me funny. The steering wheel of a car makes sense only because we know it's part of a car. Without the car, the steering wheel alone makes little sense.
All right, all right.
Paul said it simply. When God is in the mix, everything in life makes better sense because we can see how our lives and its associated incidents are part of His divine plan. So I imply to you, Pastor Brooks, to apply consistency. When we make our plans, there are a few things we need to make them work. I wish I had some help. With that awareness, there's a growing movement to return. Y'all not hearing me. There's this instance where we want to revolve around, y'all not hearing me, inconsistency. And that's what we've witnessed the last few years. Amen. I've been shouting ever since last Tuesday. Amen. This world is showing up crazy. Amen. Anytime you got the white evangelical church embracing and espousing someone who you know doesn't know the Lord. Okay, I'll leave that alone. Amen. How you know he don't know? When you stand up and you got the Bible upside down and you got Corinthians, I know you're not. Hello, somebody. Somebody's going to get mad, that's all right. Ungodly plans don't work for godly people. There's a strange irony of the spiritual life. An ungodly person can make an ungodly plan, and it will work for a while. However, a godly person who tries to make an ungodly plan will fail every time.
Amen.
A thief can make a plan to steal money and get away with it for a while. A godly man who makes the same plan will find everything going wrong, even if he doesn't get caught stealing. Godly man knows that his plan must have God's blessing and consist or incorporate the will of God. Godly people operate within the will of God. Yeah. And I pray that the ministry of the St. John Church, the ministry of the Zion and St. Paul churches, I pray that they will be consistently godly. Oh, I wish I had a witness here. I pray that we'll continue to keep God at the center. We'll keep Jesus at the center because being at the center is crucial. Yeah. Many people will buy a new house, put a cross on the wall or a picture of Jesus on the mantle, but they'll drink and gamble. Y'all not hearing me. They may have the house, but it will never become a home until Christ comes in.
All right.
Our plan must have godly consistency. Those who bake noted flour, eggs, liquid, leaven, and seasonings are necessary. However, the consistency of what is mixed depends upon whether you want the final product to be chewy, soft, or mealy like cornbread. Consistency when baking refers to how the mixture holds together. Oh, are you hearing me today? Consistency is thickness, it's firmness, or it's solidity. Paul told the Colossians that by him or by Christ our lives have consistency. He is the mixture that holds us together. He is what makes us firm. And if you bake a cake and it doesn't come out tasty, the problem is usually not on the stove, but in the bowl. It's in the mixing. If you put a lot of sugar in, expect it to be sweet. If you put a lot of meal in it, expect it to be grainy. If we put a lot of God in our mix, expect a life that is full of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Plenty of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives have consistency. And if we get things to work, if you can't get it to work, check out the bowl, not the stove. God is still God. He's still doing everything that he said. I wish I had a witness. When our lives consist, amen, it just seems that things click. Look at it again. Look at it again. Look at this pericope, this text. Look at it again. Paul says, by him all things consist. Consist also means to fit. It means to click. And so if you read the verse again, and if you'll allow me to use common language, he's saying, in essence, by him all things click. When things click, they make sense, and we understand better. When things click, we are able to see the big picture. A key makes sense when I can see the big picture and know which door that key will open. The numbers on the face of a watch make little sense until we understand that they are pointing to 60 minutes in an hour and 60 seconds in a minute. When things click, you are able to connect the dots and understand the relationship between what you learn in school and what you need for life. When things click, you understand the mysteries. When things fit, they all come together at the right time, in the right order. That is the beauty, I would submit to you, of a believer's life. God makes everything click for us at the right time. It's like opening a combination lock. There are a certain number of turns to the left and turns to the right. But at the right time, following God's direction, we hear a click, and that which was locked becomes unlocked. Only Christ makes our lives have meaning and purpose. We can do many things, but nothing seems to be to really click until we see how they fit into the will of God. So continue to preach the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God. And we live in an age where they don't want to hear it. Amen. I'm a living witness. Good preaching might empty a church, but if you keep preaching, it'll fill it back up. I wish I had a witness here. Yeah. If we want our efforts to succeed, we have to put God at the center and then watch everything else fall into place. All right, I've already held you too long. Amen. Amen. I used to preach an hour. And you know what I discovered after 50 years of pastoring? It don't make them get no better. So finally, brothers and sisters, we must remember that Christ is the center of our being. This preacher reminds us on a Sunday, every Sunday basis, that it's God, it's Christ that makes it click for us. Paul not only told the Colossians that through Christ all things consist, but he also told them how God made that happen. He concludes by saying it pleased the Father that Christ would come to the earth and show the world how to reconcile sin and salvation and thus make them click. It is in the 20th verse that he says he made peace through the blood of the cross and brought the jangling ends of condemnation and forgiveness and made them click. Yeah. In the same sense, those who trust in the Lord know that he takes the jangling discords of our lives and combines them with mercy and grace.
Come on.
In other words, things may break down, but when God gets in the picture, our efforts to fix them
begin to click. Things may go wrong, but when God gets in the picture, everything begins to work out. We may have fallen, but when God gets in the picture, our effort to stand on our feet again begins to click. When things begin to click, God opens doors that were once closed. He makes opportunities available for us. He baffles our critics who doubted our abilities. He mystifies our skeptics who thought we were doomed. How can we put it together again? How can we make things work? How is it possible to make things click? I submit to you that Jesus is enough. I don't need Jesus and something else. I've got Jesus and that's enough. Anybody in here know I've got Jesus? Anybody in here got Jesus? Do you know he's enough? Yes! I'm so glad. I'm so glad I've got Jesus. He is my wheel in the wheel. He is my bridge over troubled water. He is my way out of nowhere. He is my friend when I need a friend. Yes, he is. Anybody know him for yourself? Anybody know Jesus? Why don't you give him some praise? Yeah! Yeah! Oh! I've got Jesus. That's enough. He makes life click. And he'll do that for you, preacher. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to tell you that every day will be easy pastoring, but I'm a living witness that every day gets sweeter with Jesus. Anybody in here can witness that? Anybody in here know that every day is sweeter with Jesus than the day before? Why don't you stand up and just give him praise today? Why don't we praise God today? Why don't you stand up and give God praise? Glory!